are women never sort of sit on their laurels. They're not women who sit down. They're always busy. They're always interested. They're always involved with their family and their community. They've got lots of life lessons for us.
That's Vicky Bennison. She's the brains behind the YouTube show Pasta Grannies, which I was just discussing with John and Roy. The Italian grandmothers, or nonne, on the show have decades of experience, but they might specialize in only two or three pasta styles typical of their region. They are home cooks in the truest sense, making everything from scratch. Hi, Vicky.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Oh, I've been waiting to do this since I first met you a few years ago in Italy. How did this project take flight?
Well, I'm lucky enough to have a home in Italy, and I was researching Italian food, and I noticed that these skills weren't being passed down. It was only women over the age of about 70 that were still making pasta on a regular basis. And I thought, well, someone just needs to make a record of this, because everybody knows that Italian nonna are the best cooks ever. But what nonna will be cooking in about 20 years' time is going to be very different.
Did you first think of it as more of an academic endeavor? Did you have an idea that it would become so popular?
No, I didn't realize it was going to be so popular. I thought that it would be of interest to committed pasta lovers. 2 years ago, I was really happy with 5,000 subscribers because I thought that was really good going. But now we have 416,000 subscribers at the moment on YouTube, which is extraordinary. And I think it's not just the pasta. I think it's people also love the grandmothers. They really connect to memories of their own grandmothers, I think.
Who are they? Where did you find them? Is there an age requirement? Talk to me a little bit about the process of identifying a granny.
It's quite a lot of work, actually. So we do have a spec, if you like. They have to be over 65, although our youngest grandmother was actually about 44. And it's not limited to women. You know, if we find a pasta grandpa, we also are happy to film them. But the nature of making pasta was that it was women's work. And that we try and make sure that they make pasta by hand rather than using machinery. Although we make exceptions for that. Sometimes our ladies have, you know, dodgy shoulders and things like that. So they've taken to using a macchinetta, you know, a pasta making machine. And then how we go about finding them is that we decide on an area of Italy and we say, right, okay, we want to make peachy in Tuscany, for example. And I work very closely with a woman called Livia De Giovanni, who's Italian, and she has this magic skill of persuading women into saying yes, because our ladies don't actually kind of come forward. We find them through friends and friends of friends and people we meet on the train, through mayors, you know, the sort of the commune, the parish councils, through festival organizers, a whole variety of ways that we track our women down. And quite a lot of women say no, of course. So it takes an Italian to actually close the deal, if you like.
It's so odd in a way, this idea of an older woman making pasta. It's almost a cliche. But in this world of food media that is just gone crazy, I feel like Pasta Grannies is kind of like a bro chef antidote.
Yes, that was another motivation. I felt that there was space in the food media for something other than chefs. You know, professional chefs and cooks all say that their mother or their grandmother was their inspiration, but we never see them. And I thought it would be wonderful to put women center stage and celebrate them and their experience.
Ever since I met you, I've been besotted by the grannies. But I discovered a whole new love when you shared the photograph of Giuseppina watching another granny on a phone and trying to make her pasta. Could you tell us about Giuseppina and talk about that moment?
Oh, isn't she wonderful? She's now 97. She lives in Sardinia. And she has this wonderful twinkle in her eye. She has a great love of life still. When we went to visit her for the second time, she had made us some biscuits to celebrate our visit and in anticipation of her birthday the next day. And so we were there with a photographer for the book, and we were just sort of going through where we'd been that day, and we showed her Cesarea, and her making lorigitas, and she was absolutely enthralled by it. She had never seen it before and immediately picked up the pasta that she had made and started trying to make it herself. So that was fantastic.
So tell us, what is Giuseppina's specialty?
She makes macaronis di ungia, which is translates as a thumbnail pasta. And she uses a kind of, it looks like the back of a nutmeg grater. And so it makes this little bobbly thing. It looks a little bit like a raspberry. And you can serve it any way that you like, but it's she makes it with a simple tomato sauce. And of course, the tomatoes come from her garden. She loves gardening.
It's so fascinating that these women are still engaged enough to learn from somebody else. And I feel like a lot of these women, when they make food for their family, they don't even join them at the table.
Yes.
They're background people, right?
Yes, they're background people, but they're still in charge, I think. And I think maybe sometimes it's food is love. They're making it because they love their families, but they may not actually have a sort of physical appetite for the food that they've made. It's something about sharing it, being certain that their family are being cared for, and sharing their love in that way.
But how incredible for them to be the focus of love from this community of watchers that they don't even know.
Yes, and I think sometimes it's kind of beyond their world view, if you like. They think it's hilarious that the whole world loves them.
I love that. So one of the stories that really hit me in the book, Pasta Granny, so we should say it's not just a YouTube show now, there's a book, Raquele, who was named dirty by her family and deemed ugly.
Yes.
So she was relegated to raising the livestock.
Yes, she had a tough childhood. I think social services would have been called in had she been around today. But, you know, that was the life of poverty that she experienced. Her mum didn't like her. She had several children. But I think Raquele showed considerable spirit and, you know, fought back. She used to sort of eat eggs raw and hide the shell by stamping in the donkey poo, to hide what she'd been doing and things. So she sort of, I think that kind of, that feistiness has actually kept her going because she's now 97 and something of a local celebrity thanks to Pasta Granny. She's really enjoying that.
Oh, I love that. What was the recipe that she contributed?
She made, the sugo was with cuttlefish and it was stuffed. So she makes a kind of cavatelli, which is where you use your fingers and roll the pasta across a board to create sort of curves. And then it was a stuffed cuttlefish recipe, which is, you cook that in a tomato sauce. And of course, the cuttlefish is then served as the main course.
There are a few collaborations, including Maria and Rosaria's chickpea and pasta soup. And these none are from Puglia. And their friends, I guess they made friends through a daily prayer group.
Yes. They meet every day for their prayers. And so that's how they're friends. And they were happy to sort of show that very simple dish where you actually fry the pasta, some of the pasta, and sprinkle it over the dish, which makes a nice textural change.
One of the things that really struck me was this experience of being a pasta granny also gave the women an opportunity to talk about their history to someone who is not of the family and talk about particular larger cultural histories that really touched them.
Yes, in a personal kind of way. I think we have situations where by asking questions, we trigger memories which some of the family members don't actually know about. That's not always the case, of course, but certainly I think having an outsider is kind of changes the dynamic and the kind of memories, if you like. And so we're very privileged when that happens.
Tell us about the lasagna making tournament in Turin.
Yes, that's, well, of course, Turin attracts everybody from all over Italy because that's where the northern part of Italy is where all the industry is. So all these women, they find friendship through meeting at one of the social clubs there in the suburbs. And a way to sort of help make friends is by making pasta together. I think pasta is a team activity at its best. And so they organize these little competitions where everybody kind of gets into friendly teams and comes up with their favoured lasagna recipe, which of course changes all around Italy. So I was privileged enough to go and spend a day with them. And so we had sort of four different lasagna to judge at the end of the day.
So you were one of the judges?
No, I was one of the observers. I wouldn't dare make it sort of organise. I wouldn't actually dare tell a grandmother she wasn't first.
And a lot of these women are busy with their hands in other ways besides cooking. An enormous number of them are tailors or seamstresses.
That's true. It was the only skill pretty much that they were allowed to learn once they left school, which is often around 10 years old.
Has working with them changed the way you view aging?
Yes. I'm very determined that I'm going to age as well as they do. Yes, I think that sort of idea of busyness is very important as well, that, you know, don't ever retire.
And what about you? Have you started making your own pasta?
I was making my own pasta anyway. I do make my own pasta. I don't think I've got the sort of decades of experience under my belt that makes me a pasta grannies myself. But I'm particularly into using some of the sort of more heritage wheat-based flours. I rather like the nuttiness that gives to the pasta.
Well, I'm just so thrilled that Pasta Granny's YouTube has blown up like it has. I think it's one of the most powerful projects around food that I've seen in the last 5 years.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the book. The book is wonderful because it allows you to flip through and meet the grannies in a different way than you would in the video.
That's exactly how I feel about it, is that the book kind of complements the YouTube and the social media channels. It allows you a little bit more, gives you longer form storytelling, I think, from my perspective as a writer. It allows you to meet the grannies in a different way, which is lovely.
Well, thank you so much, Vicky. I know the time difference is huge, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
That's Vicky Bennison. She's behind the YouTube series Pasta Grannies. Her cookbook by the same name comes out October 29th. Coming up, we're turning from pasta to pizza, and not just any pizza, but the doughy, crispy, and chewy kind, often with lacy edges of golden brown cheese. We're talking about baking pan pizza at home after the break. Stick around.